All right, welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today, we're diving into, well, it starts off seeming pretty straightforward, you know, lend in your car kind of thing. But it gets really legally complicated really fast.
Yeah.
This is Gorton v. Doty.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of question that this case brings up is, you know, have you ever lent someone your car and then something happened and you thought, well, hey, I wasn't even there, so how could I be responsible? And it turns out that maybe you could be.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm. how much responsibility do you actually have
when
you lend your car out?
Like, you'd think if you lend someone your car and they go do something, you know, crazy, you would think that you're not responsible. But
you would think
this case suggests maybe.
Well, and it's not just any crazy thing, but it's like if they get into a car accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And they injure someone, like, are you on the hook for that?
Yeah, so does that make you liable as well?
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that's what this whole deep dive is going to be about. And it really kind of focuses on two main things, you know, this idea of agency, like, what is agency? And then also vicarious liability, which is this idea that, like, you can be responsible for someone else's actions.
Right, right.
And it's really going to make you think twice the next time you go to lend your car to a friend, you know, like, what strings might be attached to that?
Right. Well, so let's go ahead and set the scene. We're going way back, 1934, to Soda Springs, Idaho.
Mm.
And you've got the high school football team. They've got to get to a game in Paris, Idaho. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, no, not that Paris.
Right, right.
Different Paris.
Smaller Paris.
Yeah, little Paris.
Uh-huh.
And so a teacher named Charlotte Doty says, you know what? I'll let you guys use my car. You know, seems like a pretty nice, generous gesture.
Right? Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, and I think it's important to remember that, right? Like, that was kind of the initial spirit of this whole thing. It was just like, hey, you guys need a car. I have a car. Here's my car.
Yeah.
Use it. Go have fun at your game.
Yeah.
But, you know, things get a little more complicated.
Right? Yeah, she didn't just say, hey, anyone can take my car.
Yeah.
She said, I'll let you use my car, but only Coach Garst can drive.
Right, right.
You know, Russell Garst, the football coach.
Sure.
No students, no other teachers, just the coach.
Yeah.
So what do you make of that? That, like, little wrinkle, little change there?
Well, I mean, it seems like a pretty minor thing at first glance, you know? Like, maybe she just wanted to make sure, like, an adult was driving.
Yeah.
An experienced driver. But legally speaking, this is where things start to get interesting. Because this condition, right, this requirement that only Coach Garst could drive, it actually becomes like the central point of this whole legal battle.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It takes it from just being a simple loan, like, hey, here's my car, to something more, right? This idea of control starts to creep in.
Right.
Which, as you know, is really important when we're talking about agency.
Yeah. Okay. So then on the return trip, unfortunately, there's an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Garst, you know, who is driving, as Doty had required.
Right.
He was negligent. There's an accident. A student in the car, Richard Gorton, is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got the student who's injured. You've got the driver whose negligence led to the injury. And then you've got this car owner who wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Right. She wasn't in the car. She was back wherever, Soda Springs.
And this is where things get really juicy from a legal perspective, right?
Yeah.
So it's clear that Coach Garst was at fault. You know, he caused the accident.
Right.
But the question the court has to grapple with is Doty, the car owner, also responsible in some way? And that comes down to this idea of agency.
Right. Right.
Did her instruction, her saying only Coach Garst can drive, did that create this legal relationship between them where she becomes responsible for his actions?
So you're right. It's not just like a simple loan, you know, like, hey, buddy, you want to borrow my car for the weekend?
No.
Yeah. This is a really specific thing.
Very specific.
And I think that is why this case is so important and why we're still talking about it today, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it's something for everybody listening to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, next time you lend something out to somebody, what conditions are you putting on that?
Yeah.
You know, what are you saying about how they can use it? Because it might have some unexpected consequences, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the court, the Idaho Supreme Court, they ended up siding with the student, Gorton.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was it, like, what was their reasoning? What made them decide, she's liable here?
Yeah, so the court looked at the legal definition of agency, right? And that boils down to two main things. So the first thing is consent, right?
Okay.
One person, what we call the principal, it agrees to let another person, the agent, act on their behalf.
Right.
And the second part is control. So the principal has some control over what the agent does.
Okay.
Now, the court said that in this case, Doty offering her car and specifically saying that only Coach Garst could drive, that met both of these requirements.
Okay, so the consent part, I get. She's like, okay, I'm fine with my car being used, but I'm a little fuzzy on this control element. You know, like, how does her saying, oh, only this guy can drive?
Right.
How does that mean that she's like controlling him or something?
Well, that's a great question. And that was really the heart of the argument, right? So the court's view was this, right? They said that by naming a specific driver, Doty wasn't just saying, oh, I prefer this person.
Yeah.
She was actually giving a direct order about how her car could be used.
Okay.
It was like she was saying, my car can go to the game, but only if Garst is driving.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it went beyond just permission.
Right.
It was about her authority over that car and who was using it.
So she wasn't just lending it. She was kind of like directing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. She was imposing a specific condition.
Okay.
On how it could be used.
Okay. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and this might be kind of a weird thing for anyone out there studying law to think about. But when you think about agency, you often think about like a contract or someone's getting paid.
Right. You think it's very formal.
But here it seems like the court was saying, nope, you don't need that stuff.
Yeah. And that's a really important point. The court was basically saying, look, you don't need a formal agreement or any money changing hands for an agency relationship to exist.
Okay.
It can be more informal than that.
Okay.
And that's what we have here. Doty wasn't paying Garst to drive.
Right.
They didn't have some big fancy contract.
Right.
But because she volunteered her car for a specific purpose, right?
Yeah.
Getting the team to the game, and she gave a specific instruction about who could drive, that was enough for the court to say, yeah, this is an agency relationship.
Oh.
Garst was basically acting on her behalf, even though it was all very casual.
Okay, okay. Now, I remember reading that the court actually had a really good quote to kind of summarize this idea.
Oh, they did, yeah.
It was something like, agency means more than just passive permission.
That's right.
That sounds pretty important.
Huge, yeah. Right. So Justice Holden, who wrote the majority opinion for the court, he said, quote, agency means more than mere passive permission.
Okay.
It involves request, instruction, or command.
Okay.
Right? And so the court saw Doty's requirement about the driver as an instruction, maybe even a command.
Right, right.
It wasn't just her letting him do whatever he wanted with the car.
Yeah, yeah.
She was setting a specific rule.
Okay.
And that was enough to make it agency.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now, it seems like there might have been some bigger issues at play here too, right? Like some policy reasons that maybe the court didn't say directly, but we can kind of see them lurking in the background.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the court focused on the legal nuts and bolts of agency.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to see some broader policy concerns influencing their decision.
Yeah.
Like one thing that courts often consider is who's in a better position to have insurance, right?
Okay, yeah.
So in this case, it's probably safe to assume that Doty, as a car owner, had insurance.
Right.
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 So by holding her liable, the court basically ensured that the injured student had a way to get compensation.
Right, right.
Instead of relying on Coach Garst, who might not have had as much insurance or any at all.
Right, and that makes sense. I mean, it would be kind of rough for the student to be like, well, the person who actually hurt me doesn't have any money or insurance.
Exactly.
So I'm just out of luck.
Right, yeah.
Now, I know that there was a dissenting opinion in this case as well, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, one of the judges didn't agree with this whole thing.
A big time disagreement.
Yeah, and it's important to understand both sides of the argument. So what was Justice Budge's issue with the majority opinion?
So Justice Budge, he just fundamentally disagreed that an agency relationship existed here.
Okay.
He said Doty was just being nice, you know?
Okay.
It was a friendly gesture, lending her car.
Yeah.
He thought that her saying Garst had to drive was just about safety.
Right, right.
Like, she wanted a responsible adult behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Not about her trying to control Garst or delegate some big authority to him.
Right, okay.
For Budge, Doty's motivation was key.
Right, so he's saying she wasn't trying to, like, boss him around. She was just trying to be a responsible car owner.
Exactly. Yeah. She was trying to protect her property
and
make sure everyone was safe.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think he had a pretty good quote to kind of, you know, summarize that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So Justice Budge, he said this. He said, appellant, which is Doty, loaned her car to Garst not for her benefit, but for his benefit or for the school district.
Okay.
Right.
Right. So he's directly pushing back against this idea that Garst was working for Doty.
Right.
He's saying, look, Doty wasn't getting anything out of this.
Right.
She was just doing a good deed.
Right.
And there was no control. There was no benefit to her. So no agency.
Okay. Okay. Wow. So, I mean, I guess what this shows is that this whole agency thing, it can be really tricky.
Totally.
It's not always black and white.
Yeah. It's not always clear cut.
Yeah.
And this case is a perfect example of that, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got the same set of facts, but two different interpretations and two very different outcomes.
Right. Right. So I guess kind of as we start wrapping things up here, what would you say are the biggest takeaways from this case for, you know, our listeners, especially those of you out there studying law? What should you really be paying attention to here?
I think there are a few really important things to take away from Gorton v. Doty. You know, first off, it shows just how crucial this concept of control is in agency law. Even something that seems minor, like saying who can drive your car, can have huge legal consequences.
Right.
It might create an agency relationship where you wouldn't expect one.
Right.
So that's something to really keep in mind.
Yeah, and it also shows that you don't need to have, you know, a contract and payment and all that.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be formal.
Yeah.
No money needs to change hands.
Yeah.
It's about the consent and the control.
Right, right.
You know, that's what sets agency apart from other relationships, like, say, employer-employee, where, yeah, usually money's involved.
Right, right. And it also seems like we have to pay attention to these kind of bigger picture policy ideas, right?
Absolutely.
Like the court's decision, it seems like they were really thinking about making sure that the student could get compensation, you know?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, they don't come out and say it directly.
Right.
But it seems like they wanted to make sure that injured people have someone to turn to.
Right.
Someone who can actually pay for the damages.
Right, right,
right.
And then, you know, we also have this dissenting opinion, which, you know, reminds us that there's always two sides to every story.
Yeah. Justice Budge's dissent is super important
because
it makes us think about the limits of agency, you know.
Right.
Was Doty really trying to control Garst, or was she just trying to be responsible?
Right, right.
And it also raises this question of, like, what happens if we start holding people liable for every good deed they do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's tricky.
Yeah.
So I guess as we wrap things up here, what's the one big question that we should leave everyone with?
I think the big question here is this, right? When you lend something out, even something small, like your car, do the conditions you put on that loan really matter?
Okay.
Can they shift who's legally responsible if something goes wrong?
Right.
And how do we balance that with, you know, encouraging people to be generous and help each other out?
Yeah, because you don't want to discourage people from being nice.
Right.
Right. But then again, you know, if you're lending something and you put all these conditions on it, maybe that does change things.
Yeah, it's a tough balance, right?
Yeah. So food for thought for everyone out there. In a world where doing a good deed can sometimes backfire legally, you know, how should we approach lending stuff and doing favors for each other? Maybe it's not just about why we do something nice, but also about how we do it, you know?
It's the how and the why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.